James White, so the last time I saw you, you'd just broken your arm, and I was sitting down with a glorious sunset at Brighton Open Air Theatre to see one of my favourite stories, which is Wind in the Willows. And I have to say, when you walked towards me for a moment, I thought you were Toad. You know, you'd just broken your arm. There you were at the heart of another big project. Is it an aeroplane? Is it a locomotive? No, it's another big show outdoors, squeezing as much talent and creativity out of a small budget. And now you're back here with Robin Hood in Brighton Fringe at Brighton Open Air Theatre. I mean, Robin Hood, Sherwood Forest, you know, people jumping through trees and bows and arrows and probably a musical score. I mean, there is something of Toad in that, isn't there?
Thanks for that wonderful introduction, Paul. There is something in Toad, as in...
just keep coming back for more with even more. More.
Yes. Yeah, I do. That's true.
Poop, poop.
Poop, poop. Maybe I am. Yes, I can't get enough of Brighton Open Air Theatre. And I just get, so excited about what stories would work in that brilliant space, and I just think it's a perfect introduction for children and young people to experience a classic story or a title they may have heard of in a really safe, warm, welcoming, occasionally sunny venue.
Years back, I remember you with two or three other actors on the tiny stage in Hove of a theatre venue doing some comedy. And yet, it does seem that you've found your thing. It may not be your only thing in these big musical productions that, you know, have sometimes 10 to 20 people in them.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I have found my my thing that I really like, and I find it... really enjoyable to do. In terms of a producing angle, I find that certainly in Brighton that there's not very much for families, so I like to capitalise on that, and I think bring as much family or children's theatre as I can to Brighton. Obviously, you know that there's so much comedy and a comedy festival and all these kind of things going on. So, yeah, I think, although I did really thoroughly enjoy all the comedy we used to do, the radio shows, the sketch shows and things, feel like I can let other people get on with those things now. I'll probably do it far better than I ever did.
And that scope wasn't just in children's shows, though. I mean, I remember seeing... there must have been at least a dozen actors on stage at various times. You did Get Carter, for yes. People that don't know, the Edinburgh Fringe, and that was a big, big scale production. That was another Toad aeroplane, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. You're painting me to be quite the megalomaniac.
Well, it could be. People can say it's megalomania, but sometimes it's just also, in a world where all the CGI is in film, actually there's something bold and beautiful and brilliant and dangerous about bringing big to the stage. We know, without the Andrew Lloyd Webber budgets, this is in Brighton, this is in our local theatres.
Yes, no, you're right. I think I always, well, I don't think I know, I always like a challenge, and it's almost daring myself to do something and put something big on stage. Last Christmas we did Pinocchio, and I wanted a circus, and so we had 15 children all flying through the air on silks and things. But yeah, I suppose the challenge is, how are we going to do this, and how are we going to make it look incredible or stunning with the as you say, the relatively modest budgets that we use and we work with.
And that also means that, like Toad, you're going to break your arm, come crashing out of the sky sometimes. With that territory, it's not always going to work as well as you help. You can't even aim to achieve perfection every time here, because it's the boldness of the endeavour in the first place that is as important as what comes out of the end.
Yes, absolutely. I think I learned quite early on that, and I think any director or anyone in the arts would know that you can kind of go crazy in trying to achieve perfection. You could have 4 or 5 or 6 weeks worth of rehearsals and £500,000 budget and still not achieve what you wanted to do, even if you were striving for that. So actually what I found and what is more enjoyable is taking it easy, still working really hard, trying to smile, actors having fun, which is the most important thing, and hopefully that will translate through to the audience.
So to give people an insight who perhaps aren't in this industry, when we talk about these big shows, these musical shows, these pantomimes, these can get written from scratch, but in a lot of cases there are scripts out there. There is the Mike Carter version of which there is going to be a script, there's going to be songs, there's going to be stage directions, there's going to be license also then to adapt that to your own purposes. So in the case of, say, the Robin Hood show, where does that fit? Was there a script already?
Yes, so actually you just mentioned his name, Mike Carter. This is a Mike Carter Robin Hood script, and we've done three of his scripts now, and he's very amenable to changes and developments. These were written 20 plus years ago, so often I will look at casting changes or slight musical changes. Sometimes, for example, the Jungle Book that was his, we had a live band rather than using his original backing tracks, or we've had actors playing instruments. So yeah, we take it as a base and build on it and develop it for a 2018 audience.
So taking Robin Hood, what are the ingredients in that script that made you say, oh, we'll do the Mike Carter Robin Hood?
It's an as honest and truthful interpretation of a myth you're gonna get, I feel. It's very recognisable. You go, oh, that, yes, that story is from, I remember seeing that in the film, or I remember seeing that in a cartoon version. So there's that. He doesn't shy away from heroics and danger, people in danger, but also doesn't shy away. There's huge amounts of comedy as well. So I really like his scripts. They're not pretentious. They flow, and they have those real peaks and troughs, I suppose, of danger. At one moment, Will Scarlet is going to get hanged, you know, and the next minute we have two incompetent cutthroats trying to figure out where Robin Hood is hiding in the audience, for example.
And what particularly does, well, there's probably elements of this, the open-airness of Boat and also the amphitheatre. You know, what does that offer you, your interpretation of this show, to, say, a larger indoor venue?
I find it really satisfying that I don't need to worry about 300 lighting cues, and I don't need to worry about sets coming on and off and revolving, because we can't have those. So actually it's much more like people can expect a medieval festival almost. We know, the actors know, that the audience are there. There's no you can't have a fourth wall there.
But also, if, for example, heaven forbid, it's drizzly and dull and a bit cold, do you have a version of the show then that the actors have to kind of up their game to get the same effect? Or is it just, hey, audience, you are vital to this, so if you stay and lean forward and wear blankets, it can still work?
I think it's both of those. So, for example, last year, Wind of the Willows, there were some dreary weather on one of the performances, I think, actually naturally the actors huddling, going, right, there's an audience out there, we need to go out, we need to give them an excellent show, we need to entertain them, they've paid good money, yes, they're going to feel damp, and maybe mums and dads might be regretting their decision for booking that afternoon. Actually, those performances are often, not just for the actors and for me, but also for the audience, the most rewarding. It's that, it's a bit corny to say, it's that kind of blitz spirit, and that we're all in this together, and it's a mutual thing that we're going to get through these 2 hours in the teeming rain, but your children are going to have a great time, we're going to have a good time, might be sopping wet at the end of it, but we, you know, it's only rain.
And this isn't one of those parts of the world where the members of the audience would sue you for £50 million for psychological distress by the weather. There is a kind of spirit here,
yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely there is. And, yeah, there is this really great spirit. And the, you know, the venue is so good at providing blankets or making sure that people are really aware of the weather and to bring jumpers as well as sunscreen. Or
and finally then, also an opportunity to give us the exact title of the show, but what's your invitation for people to come and see the show at this year's Fringe, which is happening at a good time of the half term week as well, so
yes.
Families can come.
Yes, so it is The Adventures of Robin Hood at the Brighton Open Air Theatre from May the 30th until June the 3rd. Two performances a day in that half term week. And people should come because it's a riotous adventure. Everyone will leave smiling and happy. You'll be able to boo and hiss a deplorable baddie and cheer the heroes and the heroines of the show.
James White's the only person here at about 9 degrees temperature at Pavilion Gardens Cafe wearing shorts. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.